The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 19, verses 1 to 15. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered.
Thanks, Amanda and Helen, for the prayers. Appreciate that. And my name is Chris, and my task today is to bring you the second in the series of Together in Mission. Matt kicked us off last week, didn't he? He talked about sharing. And one of the things I want to explore today is, what exactly are we sharing? What do we have to share? What is the good news that we have to share? And the title is Sharing the King and His Kingdom. It couldn't have come at a better time. We organized this with the Archbishop of Canterbury so that the coronation would be on the day that we have our series on the King and His Kingdom. But what type of king is Jesus? And what is his kingdom? And what is kingdom anyway? Well, it's not a word that you hear a great deal about. Well, Jesus spoke about kingdom. He used the reference of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God a lot in the Gospels, if we look at the Gospels. In fact, one of the first sections on Jesus when he began his ministry was he followed on from John, picked up the message of John and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And he used this expression, the kingdom of heaven. Through Matthew's gospel, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 32 times. And Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a mustard seed that grows into a large bush. It's like a pearl that a man finds. And because he loves pearls, and this one is so special,
He's prepared to sell everything else just for this pearl, because this pearl is precious. The kingdom is something that Jesus spoke about. And in Mark's gospel, Mark uses the terminology of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. They just use slightly different phrases for it. And in Mark, it says, some who are standing here, he's talking later on in his ministry, closer to the crucifixion. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So this kingdom was coming initially, and then through Jesus, it came in his person, through his death and resurrection. We're going to explore a little more about what that means and look at the cross and the kingdom in that context. I don't know if anybody else watched the All Souls Orchestra prom last night. It was live at the Albert Hall yesterday, and All Souls Church have their own orchestra, and they had a prom. Did anybody see it? No? Well, I did. And only by accident, because Fiona happened to notice it was on. But they had the Kingdom Choir on there, which is a Christian choir. And one of the ladies being interviewed during the interval just made the point that the kingdom, dom, the dom of kingdom, is the king's domain. It's where the king rules. And I thought, well, yeah, that makes sense. I'll use that tomorrow. It'll make myself sound intelligent. The kingdom is where the king reigns, obviously. And we all have a little bit of kingdom, don't we? We all have a little bit of ourselves that is where we reign. It's us. It's the bit of our life that is under our control. Our choices, our decisions. We have our own little kingdoms. Yesterday in the men's breakfast, we were thinking about kings and we gave ourselves kingly names. So I was King Chris the Cautious. And I made a little crown. So that this crown is to represent me and my kingdom. The kingdom of Chris. There, that's me. Paper hat. And I want to talk about what a kingdom looks like when you think about us and Jesus. I want to compare the kingdoms of man and the kingdom of God. Yesterday, as has been referenced already several times, in the coronation, there was this wording that was used. It was called the homage of the people. And there was a bit of controversy about this in the days running up to the coronation, because the original plan was that the nation would be asked or invited to swear this allegiance to King Charles. I swear that I will pay true allegiance to your majesty and to your heirs and successors. Then the legal people got in and said, according to law. And again, the Archbishop of Canterbury came in and said, oh, yes, so help me God. So they came up with this wording, and they were going to invite the nation. But apparently that was too controversial, because, you know, it might offend some people. So they decided instead to tone it down, and they just invited people within the Westminster Abbey to say these words of allegiance to the king. It's strange, isn't it, how you think, how times have changed. Hundreds of years ago, the idea that you'd have the choice as to whether you swore allegiance to the king or not would be quite weird. Everybody had to swear allegiance to the king, otherwise you were in trouble. But in our society, it becomes an option. Well, it's interesting that we have a choice whether to swear allegiance to our king, King Charles. Because when we think about Jesus, he gives us a choice as well. And the reason we have a choice for King Charles is that because over time, gradually, the power of the monarch has been reduced. And we're in a situation now where, yeah, it doesn't feel appropriate that we should insist that everybody swears allegiance to the king. But the choice that Jesus gives us about whether we give our allegiance to him and his kingdom That is not to do with a loss of power. God is all powerful. And yet he still gives us choice. Whether we choose to give allegiance to him and his kingdom. Well, I'm going to give you the choice this morning. Because I'm going to use some wording that, well, you're probably very familiar with. Wording you've said many times. But perhaps you've never thought of it in the context of a vow of allegiance. Our Father, who is in all the heavens. It starts by just declaring, first of all, that we give ourselves a unity with God. He is our Father. But we recognize that he is in all the heavens. He is above us. We lift up your holy name. So it starts with recognizing who God is. And then it makes this statement, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, just as it is in your heavenly realm. That's quite a powerful statement, isn't it? A vow of allegiance. Whenever we pray this prayer, we're setting ourselves to say, yes, that's King Jesus. That's who we want to follow. And we're praying for his kingdom to come. So I thought it would be good. It would be good to pray this prayer this morning and make this vow of allegiance. And in the context of doing that, we have here a crown of thorns. It's already been referenced, isn't it, in that video, that the crown of thorns represents Jesus. This is his chosen crown. And the choice that we have to make is whether we accept Jesus as king and actually replace our crown with his. That's the choice that we have before us. Do we accept Jesus or ourselves to wear the crown in our lives? So, I would like us to stand. If you don't mind, if you all stand. No, and then I'm going to, if you all stand, that would be helpful. If you can. And you have a choice whether you say this prayer. I'm not trying to force everybody to make this vow of allegiance, but I'm hopeful that many of you will want to make this vow of allegiance. And often when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're doing it, you know, with our heads down and eyes closed, and we mumble it through a bit. This time, I would like us to say it with confidence, head held high, looking around, and acknowledging this is our prayer of allegiance to God. You up for that? Okay, I will lead you in that, nice and loud. It would be lovely, wouldn't it, if we had a sort of fanfare to start us off? Say with me, our Father, who is in all the heavens, we lift up your holy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, just as it is in your heavenly realm. Thank you. Please sit down. And thank you to my two trumpeters, the two Pauls. I said we would think about comparing man's kingdom and God's kingdom. And we're going to do that by thinking about the cross particularly. The cross is a horrible, cruel form of execution, crucifixion. And deliberately so. I mean, that was the whole point. And the Romans used it not just to punish people, but also as a public statement. So they would set the crosses up, not hidden away somewhere out of public sight, but actually along the main road into a town or a city. And so Jesus was, we know he was crucified outside the city walls, but it would most likely have been on one of these sort of thoroughfares so that people would have walked past. And as they did so, they would get the message. The Roman kingdom's message is this: we have the power. We will punish you if you disobey. So obey out of fear. That's the kingdom of the Roman Empire. And I think that expresses the kingdom of mankind generally. You know, we don't see that very much in our society, in this country. But, you know, you look around the world and you see that there are plenty of situations where we have the power, we will punish you, you must obey out of fear. It's clearly being expressed by the people who have control. And I think it exists throughout the world. I think it does exist in our country as well. That is the kingdom of mankind. But if we look at the cross from God's angle, if we look at the cross the way God sees it and the way God's kingdom see it, we see something very different. We see Jesus on the cross not claiming power, but surrendering power. He chose to go to the cross. He went like a lamb, we're told, without a fight. He didn't. That situation we were just read about in the Gospels, where Jesus was facing Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor. I think that's such a crucial moment in history, when the Son of God stands in front of the power of the might of Rome, represented by Pontius Pilate. God's kingdom, man's kingdom, facing each other in that direct way. And Jesus surrendered his power. And the point of the cross for us is that he brings forgiveness. Jesus, through the cross, was able to forgive us. Even on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." Forgiveness is key to what Jesus was doing on the cross. And because of that forgiveness, and because he did it for us, he calls us to obey, not out of fear, but out of love. So this is the same thing, the cross, that the Romans saw as a terrible form of execution. God saw as a wonderful form of salvation. This is the difference between man's kingdom and God's kingdom. This is the choice between who's in control, me or Jesus. Because although we can think of it on a global scale, it comes down to individuals. Where God reigns, where the kingdom is our choice. He gives us that choice. He invites us to say, "May your kingdom come on earth, here, right now, in my life." Your kingdom come. The Lord's Prayer, we used the first half of it, didn't we, as our statement of declaration. The second half then tells us about the things that we need to fulfill that prayer, that desire that his kingdom will come. Because we surrender power, we're not looking to accumulate wealth or power or status. We just ask for enough for today. Give us this day our daily bread, is the wording in the Lord's Prayer. Just enough for today. We're not looking to build and accumulate for ourselves. We trust in you, God, each day for enough. Forgive us when we fall short as we forgive others who fall short. Or forgive us our trespasses, or whatever wording you choose to use for the Lord's Prayer. We all fall short, don't we? We know we do. The cross gives us forgiveness, but we have to ask for that forgiveness. And because we are forgiven, we forgive others too. And through that, his kingdom comes. This is the value of God's kingdom, that forgiveness is key. And then there's that bit about lead us not into temptation. I always find that a strange expression, lead us not into temptation. As if we didn't ask, God would deliberately lead us into temptation. No, I don't think that's the truth. I think what it means is, when temptation comes, and it will, when evil comes, and it will, Father, give us the strength, the courage to choose your way, to choose to go not into temptation, but away from it. Lead us, Lord, away from temptation. Choosing what is good, that is part of this kingdom value. And if God reigns in our hearts, then these are the things that we want in our life. When we think about sharing the king and sharing his kingdom, there are two aspects to how that might work its way out in our lives. One I've called living God's kingdom, and one is speaking God's kingdom. So people will see God's kingdom in our lives if we're living this out. Our priorities, the fact that we don't try and accumulate for ourselves, but we trust that God will provide day by day. The fact that we are people of forgiveness, and that we know forgiveness in our own lives. They will see through the choices we make. So these things will be part of sharing God's kingdom, sharing the kingdom values, if you like. People will see that in our lives. And through that, we share God's good news of the king and the kingdom. But I think we also have to go beyond that. There will be times when we have to speak God's kingdom and not just show it in our lives. And the message here is a very powerful and strong message. And perhaps for different people in this congregation today, these are messages that you need to hear. Perhaps you need to hear this: Jesus is enough for you. There are all sorts of voices out there in the world that are telling you, you need this, you need that. You need the latest iPhone, you need a holiday, you need all sorts of things. Jesus is enough. We can trust him day to day. Or perhaps you need to hear this: Jesus forgives you. Maybe you're carrying guilt or some element of anger or bitterness that's related to forgiveness. So someone's cool. Don't worry. God forgives you. Jesus forgives you. That is an important message to hear. Or maybe you're worried about the future and how you will decide and navigate through your life. Maybe the message you need to hear is that he will walk with you. He will come beside you. Jesus isn't like, it's not like meeting some celebrity. And, you know, you can say, well, yeah, I met Jesus once, and hold on to that for the rest of your life. No, when Jesus comes into your life, he comes to walk with you, to help you through. To say, when temptations, when evil are near, he is beside us and able to walk with us. So, sharing God's king and his kingdom, these are some thoughts that I have for you today. And I'm going to leave those with you for you to think about.